Hopefully you're prepared and ready to hear it. You can turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 8. A familiar story as we get here and begin to read this passage of Scripture. You'll find a story that you've heard before, certainly a application that you've heard before, but I want to remind us of the need this morning as Christians for dynamic faith. It is our job, our responsibility to have, as Christians, dynamic faith. Faith that is moving, faith that is accomplishing something, faith that is going somewhere. Faith without works is dead. And we want to have a dynamic faith, not a doubting faith, not a disturbed faith, a dynamic faith. A pastor was speaking to a congregation. And he said, "The fact is that you all are here sitting in front of me. That's fact. The fact that I'm standing up here and that I am talking to you, that's fact. The fact that any of you are listening, that is faith." And that's what we're talking about. And that's why sometimes I engage you. I engage you and I say, "Are you with me?" I say, "Are you awake? Get some kind of response." Because I know sometimes you could be there looking right at me and you are thinking about lunch. You are thinking about work. You are thinking about, "Hey, I've been there. I've been there. I've been sitting there. It may have even been a great message, but somehow my mind just got all off. I'm looking right at him. In the back of my mind, I'm listening, right? I'm listening. I'm hearing him. But I could be 1,000 miles away." And sometimes just something to draw you back, you know, it helps to, and that's what I try and engage you, and I want to make sure that, because if you aren't listening, then we might as well just stop and go home, because we just might as well just pray and be done, because if you're not listening, then we're not accomplishing anything, right? We need to have, that's a display of faith. There was a story I told some years ago, and I'm sure that you guys have heard it, but it illustrates faith very well, and that is, there was a man out walking along the ridge of the Grand Canyon. Never had the opportunity to see the Grand Canyon myself. Maybe I'll take my family someday. How many of you have seen the Grand Canyon? Many, many here. Is it worth going to see? Well, maybe we'll have to take a family vacation and go see the Grand Canyon. But he's out hiking along the Grand Canyon, and he got a little too close to the edge, and he slipped off. And he slipped, and as he's sliding down the edge of the bank there, he is able, his arm caught on a branch sticking out of the side of the canyon. He's holding on and he's looking up. He's looking up, but he didn't see anybody. And he's like, "Hello? Help! Help! Is there anybody up there? Help!" And then a calm, deep voice says, "Yes, I'm here. Can I help you?" And the voice says, "Yeah, you can help me. I need to get rescued. I need to get saved from this. I fell off the edge and I'm going to die." And he said, the voice says, do you have faith? Do you trust me?" And the man says, "Yeah, I trust you. Just help me. Please help me." He's like, "Do you really trust me? I mean, do you have faith?" And he says, "I have faith. Will you just help me?" And he says, "Okay, let go." It was quiet for a minute, and the man goes, "Is there anybody else up there?" Sometimes our faith is like that with God. We've got faith. "Yes, Lord, I have faith." And he tells us what to do. And we go, "Is there anybody else up there? Is there somebody else that can tell me what direction I'm supposed to be going?" You see, we need to have dynamic faith. Look in Matthew chapter 8, in verse number 23 through verse number 27, the story where we'll take our message from this morning. "And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him." You see, they had faith here. They followed him. They were going with him. "And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep." What kind of a sleeping pill is that? Can you imagine a ship being tossed so much that the waves are overtaking it? And Jesus is asleep in the bottom of the ship. He's asleep. Verse number 25, "And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we perish.' And he saith unto them, 'Why are ye fearful? O ye of little faith. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you, dear God, for the opportunity to have faith in such an amazing Lord, such a powerful God. We thank you for the thought this morning from the Word of God, and I pray that you would be with every one of us here as we often find ourselves like the disciples where we say, Lord, we believe, but help thou our unbelief. Lord, I pray you would give us dynamic faith as we consider the idea of missions, of reaching this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ and doing our part to accomplish that. Give us the faith we need to see that come to fruition. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You see, what we participate in here at Hunt Valley Baptist Church by means of faith is what we call faith promise missions giving. We give towards missions by faith and trust that God will supply what's needed in our lives. Now, this is not your tithe, and I'm not going to teach on faith promise. There's a small article in here about faith promise, and we'll be talking about through the missions conference. But what it is we say, okay, God, what do you want me to give towards missions? And the Lord touches your heart and says, I want you to give $1 a week. And you say, Lord, I can have faith to trust that you would provide for me $1 a week, so I'm going to commit to give $1 a week. Now, this is a commitment between you and God, not between you and the church. Nobody else knows that you did this. You know, this is between you and the Lord. And you say, Lord, I'm going to do this for you. And you commit to give $1 a week throughout the next year. And you know what? You might have to give up one or two Mountain Dews throughout the year in order to fulfill that commitment. But you say, Lord, I can trust. I have enough faith to trust you, Lord, to provide me $1 a week. All of my kids give Faith Promise Missions giving every week. They give to missions on a weekly basis. And they come, and they throughout the years, they've asked me and say, Dad, do you think I could give this much? Do you think I could give this much? And every year, they've increased their faith. That's about all that I'm going to say about Faith Promise Missions giving. But understand, we're talking about faith, and it takes faith in order to do this. You're trusting God to meet your needs personally and committing to Him to meet the needs of the missionaries that we are sending around the world. You see, we saw here the disciples were in a storm. There was a Christian soldier who was crossing the Atlantic with his family. He was on vacation, and they were in their, what do you call the room in a ship? What's it called? Cabin. It's a cabin in a ship? Okay, they were in their cabin, and they were there, and the storm came up, and it got pretty rough. And mom was getting a little fearful, and she was getting a little fretful and starting to worry. And you know how kids are. Kids will catch the spirit that mom or dad have. And the kids started getting worried about it. And they're like, you know, is it going to be okay? And they started crying. And mom was getting quite frustrated with dad because dad was sitting in the chair reading a book and not worried about it at all. He was just as comfortable as can be. Wasn't worried at all. And she was getting quite irritated at his comfort and no concern for the situation. And she's getting more and more worked up. And she looked at him finally and she said, Dad, if you can't have the least bit of concern for yourself, could you at least have some concern for me and the kids? And he said, just a second, hon. And he got up and he walked over to his nightstand. And he pulled out his gun. And he came over to his wife. This makes a terrible gun, but he pointed his gun at his wife. And she looked at him and said, put that thing away before you hurt somebody. And he's like, aren't you concerned? And she says, no. And he says, this gun could do a lot of damage. This gun could do a lot of hurt in a hurry. Aren't you the least bit worried? And she says, no. And he says, why? And she says, because I know that you love me and you would never hurt me. And he says, exactly. Therefore, why would I be worried? I know the one that controls the winds and the waves. And I know that he loves me. And he would never hurt me. Therefore, I can have faith and trust him. And I need not be so worried about the outcome. You know, the devil will bring doubting faith. The devil will cause your faith to end up doubting. Why? Why would he do that? He'll give you doubting faith, a disturbed faith. A disturbed faith first. You see, our Christian life starts with faith. The foundation of the Christian life is faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And then not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest men should boast. It's faith that saves us. And it's faith that we are going to live our Christian life by. But sometimes our faith gets disturbed. You know, some people, they say, well, I'm not a man of faith. I'm not a lady of faith. I don't. What they're saying is that they don't have a faith in God. But you know, every single person today in the world has faith. They exercise, use faith every single day. When they get in their car, they have faith that it's going to drive and run and make it to work. When they get in a plane, they have faith that it's going to make it over there. They have faith that the pilot is going to sufficiently be able to fly that plane and get it to where it's going to go. When they go to a restaurant, they have faith that the food was prepared correctly and nothing inappropriate or wasn't supposed to be put in there was put in there. I mean, we exercise faith every day, but so many times we have doubting faith or disturbed faith when it comes to Jesus Christ. Our faith is, first of all, it's disturbed because of the developments in our life. Developments in our life. You see, when they had entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. They had faith. They followed him. They were with God. Things were going good. The sun was shining. The waters were calm. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. You know, developments rise. The situation changes a little bit, and our faith changes. Our level of faith gets disturbed a little bit. There was one pastor who had a lady in his church named Mrs. Young. And Mrs. Young had come several times with this concern. She came to her church by herself, and her husband hated church, and her husband wasn't coming to church. Husband wouldn't go to church. In fact, her husband had said, if you keep going to that church, I'm going to kill you. And Mrs. Young came to the pastor and said, Pastor, I don't know what to do. I mean, my husband told me again that I know, Mrs. Young, I know you just need to have faith that God's gonna take care of you. But Pastor, he told me if I come to this church, he's gonna kill me. And the pastor said, I know. I'll pray for you that God will protect you, that God will keep you safe. God has protected you this far, hasn't he? Yes, God will protect you. I'll pray for you. And it'll be okay, Mrs. Young. She says, Pastor, you don't understand. He told me this week that if I kept coming to this church, he was gonna kill you. Well, you know, Mrs. Young, there's a good church right down the road. There's a great church. I can look up the pastor's name for you. Our faith in God changes when the circumstances change, doesn't it? Oh, in that situation. Sometimes our faith is disturbed because the circumstances change. They had faith. It just was disturbed because of the conditions that they were dealing with. I always pick on the boys, so Alicia, why don't you come here? We're going to pick on Alicia this morning. Actually, I'm going to give you a job. First thing I want you to do is I want you to walk up the steps on this side, walk across the platform, and go down that side. That wasn't that hard. Wasn't that difficult. Now I want you to do it in reverse. I want you to do it walking backwards. Walking backwards. Do it backwards. A little bit more of a challenge, maybe a little bit harder, not quite as easy to accomplish. I'm going to try not to pull your hair. All right, now I want you to do it blindfolded. No, frontwards. You see, as Christians, we're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. Should I help her? Watch the edge there. There. Double step. There you go. I think you got it. You could take your thing off there. Yeah. You want Bob's gain? See, we're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. And we as Christians don't have a hard time doing the stuff we can see, right? Oh, yeah, Yes, Lord, I'm there. I'm with you, Lord. The sun's shining, the water's calm. I'm okay, Lord. Sounds good. A little bit harder. I don't know, Lord. I'm not sure about this. When we can't see, is there anybody else up there? We are supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. We can trust the one who controls the storm. The devil is going to take the circumstances and impress upon your depressed mind and sow doubt that he really cares. There's been times in my life where the situation was rough, where circumstances changed, and I wondered, Lord, are you there? Lord, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Sometimes our faith is disturbed because of developments. Sometimes our faith is disturbed because of delays. Something that we have faith for at first, and we got strong faith, but then there's a delay. It doesn't come right away. We end up having to wait for a little while. Have you ever had a friend that you were waiting on? And he was supposed to be there at 2 o'clock, and 2:15 rolled around, and your faith that he was going to show up started to wane. And then 2:30 showed around, you're like, he forgot all about it. Forget it. You guys ended up just leaving without him. Your faith that he was going to show up, why? Because he was delayed. Sometimes in our life, things are delayed. The answers that we want for prayers are delayed. We have to wait for that job we've prayed for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, 2 months. We had faith that God could give us a job at first, but now it's been 3 months, and Lord, where are you? Some might lose faith in what God wants to do out on the Shawan Road property because we've had to wait. You understand, God gave us that property in a miraculous way. And when we saw God do that as a church, we were all excited and on board, and we were like, wow, look at what God is doing, and this is amazing. And we're ready. We all jumped in the boat with him and said, let's go, Lord. And then a storm came and a delay. And I've seen faith wavering. Pastor, is this really what we're supposed to be doing? Pastor, are we really supposed to be going down this road? Pastor, maybe this is not what God wanted. Why? Because there's a delay? You've been praying for that loved one to get saved for a while, and there's a delay, and the faith starts to wane. You say, I don't know if he'll ever get saved. He's never going to turn around. Been praying for a loved one for a while, and our faith sometimes can wane. Saying that their heart's never going to change. They're never going to turn around. Nothing's ever going to happen. But you got to have faith. And you've got to keep praying, even through the delay. Have you lost some faith in an unanswered prayer because of delay? One of the biggest reasons faith is disturbed is because of defeat. Almost greater than anything else, but defeat, man, that disturbs your faith. You know? You tried to be a witness. You went out and tried to witness to somebody and they slammed the door on you. You know, we preached about it. When you try and do something good for God, then came who? You guys remember? Then came Amalek. Then came Amalek. Then comes the devil on the scene. As soon as, when you decide, okay, I want to be a witness, I'm going to start giving these away at work. The first day you give away one of these at work, the person you give it to is going to get mad. And you say, man, I tried that already. I already did that and it didn't work. Failure destroys your faith. You say, you know, I tried to do that and it didn't work. The devil knows it and he's going to do all he can to disturb your faith by bringing about a measure of defeat in your life. You've tried teaching and it didn't go well. You've tried singing and it didn't go well. You know what? When we got the news that we lost our hearing the second time around, I mean, I put on a strong face for the people that were around me, and I'm like, yeah, the Lord knows, you know, amen. And inside I was crushed. And when I got alone, it's like I looked up into heaven and I said, God, why sleepest thou? Carest thee not that we perish? I said, God, where are you? How did this happen? Nothing hurts your faith like defeat. But you know God is still in control. It took a few hours, but God came around and touched my heart, and he said, why are you fearful? O ye of little faith, I'm still in control. You stood in that courtroom and you told all those people that don't believe me that God's in control and that God's will is going to be done. And because it didn't go your way, I'm not in control anymore. The Holy Spirit started really, really getting on me. And I say, God's in control. There might be a delay, but I know that he is in control. There might be a defeat, but I know that he is in control. Sometimes our faith is disturbed because of deficiency. It's just being able to trust God to use us to do it. Sometimes we look and say, oh, I know God could use Dr. Yoon to do that. Oh, I know that God could use Bradley to do that. I mean, look at Bradley. But God couldn't use me to do that. Because we feel there's some deficiency. There's something that we might be lacking as individuals. And we look at others and we say, oh, they can do that, but I could never do that. Or God couldn't use me to do that because I... And whatever area of deficiency you want to talk about. You might look at it and say, I am deficient in this area or that. And it might disturb your faith. But know that if God, with you and God, you're the majority. And with God, all things are possible. And it's God that does it anyway, not you. Right before you today is a living example of God doing it and not a man. Because I can't do it. The first few months I stood in the pulpit here, on the way to church, I would say, God, I can't do this. God, I can't do it. I can't preach and give the people what they need. God, I can't do it, but I knew that that's what I was supposed to do. And God enabled. God can use anyone that's willing. You're not deficient. He is sufficient. You have a disturbed faith. Sometimes we have a doubting faith. Our faith is disturbed sometimes because of delays or because of deficiency or maybe because of the developments that come into our life, but sometimes we have a doubting faith and we just doubt. What causes us to doubt? The main reason that we as Christians begin to doubt is because of desecration, because of sin. You see, sin separates us from God. Sin breaks the hold that we have on our faith that reaches into the realm of heaven. You see, it's through faith that we have the eyes to be able to see. It's through faith that we are able to reach into the very spiritual realm, to reach to the heart of God and put trust and belief in Him who is ultimately trustworthy. We put faith in that, but it's through faith that we can reach that place. And when we sin, it breaks that fellowship. It breaks that ability to reach into the realm and to have spiritual eyes to be able to see and to have faith that God can do it. Sin blinds the eyes of faith. You know, Jesus woke up in the ship not because he was concerned for himself, but because he was concerned for them. Jesus loved them, and he woke up in the ship because he loved them. But sin separates us from that love. The Bible says your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Friend, you want to have faith, you want to have dynamic faith and not doubting faith, we've got to get the sin out. What's separating us from the love of God? This could be very similar to the first point here, but also because of disobedience. I want to apply it a little bit different way because The idea here is that you understand that faith will never grow in a disobedient heart. Faith will never grow in a disobedient heart. Let me illustrate it like this. Let's say I told you that if you came and gave Mr. Brad $20, next Sunday, he'll give you $100. You probably would doubt. A lot of you would doubt so much that none of you would do it. But let's say Andrew said, man, that's Dad. Dad said it. Dad's always been honest with me. I got a little bit of faith. I'm going to do it. Let's say Andrew gave him $20, and next week he gave him $100. Whose faith was strengthened? Because they followed through, because they did it. Andrew's. Let's say all of you did it, and you came back with $100. Then next week I said, listen, I've got an investment that if you put $1,000 in, I can guarantee you 25% in the next 45 days. You'd say, hey, man, Pastor Caleb, he said this, and it happened. And so a few of you would do it. In the next 45 days, when you got the 25%, you'd say, wow, it happened. What he said, it came true. And I said, hey, there's a car here. If you buy this car, it'll be trouble-free, problem-free, no oil changes, no tire changes, nothing. You can drive 300,000 miles with this car. You'd say, oh, Pastor Caleb, I don't know about that. I doubt that. But when it happened, I mean, you could sit there and doubt all you want and do nothing, and your faith will never grow. But when you bought the car and you followed through and you got the car and you made it to 300,000 miles, you would say, wow, it happened. And so when I said, hey, if you give 10% to God, he'll make the 90% go further than 100%, you would say, yes, he does. Yes, it does. Why? Because faith grows in the obedient heart. Because when we see God deliver, when God says, do this, and I will, and when we do it, and God does, our faith is strengthened. And we say, wow, God can do it, and God says, do this, and I will. And we say, okay, God, and we do it, and our faith is strengthened. And we say, God says, do this, and I will. And we say, okay, God, and we do it, and our faith is strengthened. This is what we're talking about with faith promises. When you do it and you see God come through, there's people in this room that you could not convince of the fact, no matter what you say, that God doesn't deliver. Why? Because they've seen him do it over and over and over and over. Because their faith was strengthened by obedience. When you're obedient, your faith will grow. And when we're disobedient, we doubt. You see, if I told you, hey, do this investment, you'll get 25%. Nobody does it, you'll doubt, and you'll just keep on doubting. And you just doubt and say, I don't believe that. And you aren't going to do it, and you'll still have doubt. But if you did it and it came true, you would have belief. And the Bible says, God says, prove me therewith. God says, do it and see if I don't. God says, prove me. I mean, this is a promise from God Almighty that he will if we do. Having faith. If you feed your faith, your doubt will starve to death. The problem is a lot of us are feeding our doubt and our faith is starving. Sometimes our faith doubts because of other doubters. Let me just throw this out and encourage you. Don't listen to other doubters. We would call them haters today. Why you got to hate? Why are you a hater? Why are you knocking on this program? Why are you, you don't think this will work? Why are you got to criticize this? Why do you got to be such a hater? There's people that are going to doubt, and there's people that are going to look at you and say, why do you do that? Why do you go to church? Why do you read your Bible every day? Why do you don't get anything out of that anyway. Why do you? And your faith will start to doubt because you're listening to other doubters. Don't listen to them. Sometimes you get up and let's say you go to sing a special for the Lord and you want to please God and it gets back to you that somebody criticized your special and you say, man, I did my best and they criticized it. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to the haters. Do your best for God, and with God, you'll be a success. There's always going to be somebody that has a burr under their saddle, that's just looking for a fight, whatever. Don't listen to them. You say, man, I got up and I did my best and I taught a lesson in junior church and some kid said he didn't understand anything I said. Well, probably because he was thinking about Xbox instead of thinking about what you were saying. Everybody else got it. Everybody else heard it. Don't listen to the haters. Don't listen to the doubters. Listen to God. Do what God wants you to do and you'll be a success. You'll have dynamic faith. This is what we want, dynamic faith. How do we have dynamic faith? To have dynamic faith has direction. We've got to look forward with expectancy. Look forward with vision. You know, you and I, we don't become spiritual just by sitting down and wish it to become so. We don't just become spiritual because we, clack your heels and say, I want to be spiritual three times. I mean, that just doesn't happen. You know, there's no place like spiritual, and you just do that, and you'll be spiritual. No, it takes work. Dynamic faith has to be going somewhere. It has to be doing something. There was a professor in college, Daryl Champlin, and actually somebody just mentioned him recently, but he was a great missionary to Suriname, West Africa, and he preached a message, Faith with Shoes On. The idea of, it was Love with Shoes On, the title of his message, Love with Shoes On. And the idea is that your love, your faith in God is going to be going somewhere. It's going to be doing something. You got to strap your boots on and get to work. You got to accomplish something for God. If you're going to have dynamic faith, faith without works is dead. There was in the Massachusetts Bar Association, the Lawyer's Journal wrote this dialogue between a person on the stand. What would you call him? The guy on the stand. The witness. Between the witness and the lawyer. The lawyer said, the witness was a doctor. And he says, doctor, before you performed the autopsy, did you check for a pulse? The doctor said, no. Lawyer, did you check for blood pressure? Doctor, no. Did you check for breathing? No. Question, then, is it possible that the patient was alive when you began the autopsy? Answer, no. Question, how can you be sure, doctor? Answer, the doctor said, because his brain was sitting on my desk. Question, but couldn't the patient have been alive nonetheless? Answer, it is possible that the patient could have been alive and practicing law. But for normal people, the body is dead without the brain. And likewise, faith without works is dead. We can have all the faith in God we want to talk about, but at some point, we have to step off. Some point we have to say, God, I trust you. We have to put action. We have to say, yes, Lord. I believe you can. Yes, Lord, I will. I trust you and I have faith and I can believe that you can do this, Lord. And put feet to our actions. When Jesus said to Peter, cast your nets on the other side. Peter could have had all the faith in the world that Jesus could have done great miracles. But it took him saying, yes, Lord. And turning around, he could have said, Jesus, I believe you can do it, but Jesus, I've been out here all night. Jesus, I'm a fisherman. I know what I'm doing, Lord. I understand all of these waters, Lord. I know all this. But Jesus said, cast your nets on the other side. And Peter said, yes, Lord. And he cast them on the other side. And only then did he bring in that great haul of fish? Because he had action to his feet. You know, we have faith that God can change our family. But it doesn't happen because we just say, oh, Lord, I know you can change my relationship with my wife. Lord, I know you can make things better. And we don't ever read a book on how to improve our marriage. We don't ever get any advice on how to improve our marriage. We don't ever take a step in that direction. We pray and say, Lord, I know you can help me with my financial situation. Lord, I know that you can solve this problem. And you got 3 days a week that you're not working. And God's saying, you know, I could do that by giving you a job to fill up those other 3 days, but you're not, what do you want? You see, there was a guy that the coffee machine at work, he went in to get a drink out of his coffee machine. And this was a self-automated machine. And he'd stand there and he put his money in and he put, you know, coffee, cream, sugar, and the machine began running. And the coffee came out. And the creamer came out. And the sugar came out. But he forgot to put the cup under there. And he's standing there looking at it. And all the coffee and the creamer and the sugar went right down the drain. And a coworker came by and walked by and he says, man, this is a really efficient machine. He says, what do you mean? He says, man, it gives you coffee, cream, sugar, and it drinks it for you too. It does it all. That's what we want God to do. We want to just say, Lord, here's my order. And God's saying, you didn't put the cup in. I gave you everything else and you didn't put the cup in. You've got to put action. Faith without works is dead. Dynamic faith is moving. You're saying, Lord, will you please save my father? And you've never sent him a track. You've never sent him a New Testament. You never highlighted a John in Romans and mailed it to him and says, hey, if you ever get a chance, you could read this. You've never sent him a good message about salvation. You've never took somebody over there to try and win him to the Lord. You're just saying, God, would you do it? Would you do it, God? Have the rocks cry out. And God's saying, I've given you several tools. God can change the situation at work. But you've never read a book on how to get along with your coworkers. You've never read about how to have a more pleasing personality. You've never baked them some cookies or done something, you know, a soft answer turneth away wrath. You're just saying, God, would you fix this problem? But we got to have feet to our prayers. That's dynamic faith. As Christians, we want to have dynamic faith. As we embark upon this missions conference and we pray about God, what do you want us to do? It takes faith. And dynamic faith is going somewhere. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I know that if I asked anybody here, you would say, I have faith in God. But do you have enough faith to step out? Do you have enough faith to weather the storm with him, to overcome the doubters, to deal with your own deficiencies, to put away the sin? How's your faith holding up? Lord, I pray that you would be with us this morning, each and every Christian here. God, I pray that you would help every heart to turn their eyes towards you, to forget about the one standing in front of them, the one that delivered the message, but turn their eyes to the Scriptures and to the Savior, and examine their heart and find out where is their faith. What do they have faith in? Do they have a dead faith? Lord, I know we could all have a more dynamic faith. I pray, God, that you would help us to exercise that faith and to see you do miraculous things through us. May each and every person respond as you would have. In Jesus' name, amen.